Hallelujah. Good evening. Thank you so very much for joining us tonight for a time of ministering the Word of God and our Bible study. Hallelujah. God is good. This is yet another opportunity that He has given to us to be able to come together around His Word. I trust that you and your family, you and your loved ones, are blessed and doing well, enjoying this season, the goodness of the Lord. Praise God for this opportunity to celebrate the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything around our faith, everything around our relationship with God hinges on all of those, the ultimate sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ made on the cross of Calvary. We are truly blessed and privileged to be called the redeemed of the Lord. We are blessed, we are favored, we are loved by our Father. He's good and He's amazing to us. Thank you, wherever you are joining us from tonight and through whatever platform. Glory to God. I'm excited at another opportunity that God has given to us to get around the Word. Hallelujah. So let's share a word of prayer and let's get into the Word of God together tonight. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity that you have given to us again tonight to come together with the saints around your Word. Father, we yield ourselves to you. We yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. We ask that you illuminate your Word to us, grant us great grace and understanding. Lord, cause the life of God to be made manifest as we study the Word of God together tonight. Lord, speak through my mouth and think through my mind and grant us clarity in all that we study together tonight. I thank you, Lord. I give you all the glory and all the praise. You alone are worthy to receive it, so receive it to yourself, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Thank you so much again for joining us tonight. We have been studying for a few weeks the theme that we have titled, Renovate Your Mind, Elevate Your Life. Renovate your mind, elevate your life. When you and I, as we continue to study the principles of renovating our minds from the Word of God, our lives will become elevated. Glory to God. Like the Lord said, this is our theme scripture, one of them from the Old Testament that we've read pretty much in every service in Isaiah chapter 55 from verse 8. Because our thoughts are not God's thoughts, His thoughts are not our thoughts. Our ways are not His ways. It is impossible for us to live and enjoy the benefits, all the benefits that have been prepared for us. Our thinking begins the cycle of every provision that God has made available for our lives. Every provision, whether it's in our health, whether it's in our spiritual well-being, our relationship with God, whether it's in our relationships with other people around us, members of our family, friends, colleagues, and other people, whether it's in our finances, whether it's in our pursuit, the pursuits of our whatever we do, our career, our ministry, our destiny, our whatever it is, our businesses, everything begins from the mind. The mind is the determinant of the direction of a man's life, of a woman's life. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs 23, as he thinketh in his heart or in his mind, so is he. As she thinks in her mind, so is she. Hallelujah. Let's get into the word. Isaiah 55, let's read from verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and does not return there, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth and bud, that he may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It will not return unto me void, but it will accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. You may find out that as we have been studying over the last several weeks, I think this is our seventh week now, we're almost 2 months at this. You find out that the greatest limitation in any life, in every life, is the mind. That mind is also the greatest potential. If you believe in your heart and you conceive in your mind that you will accomplish all that God has put in your heart, in destiny, then you will. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. It doesn't matter what you are doing, what your vocation, your calling is, what your family background, education, all of that is. If you believe in your heart and you conceive in your mind that you will accomplish every dream that God has given to you, then you will. If, on the other hand, you believe in your heart and you fail to conceive in your mind the possibility or likelihood of the fulfillment of the things that God has implanted in your heart, then they will never be fulfilled. We will only rise as high as our minds allow us to rise. Hallelujah. And even in this season, as we celebrate, get ready to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, let's think about it for a minute. Redemption began in the heart of God, and he executed it by putting certain things into motion. He made certain decisions. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God made the decision to love the world and to give his best for the world. And in doing so, redemption happened. In the same way, when you and I make decisions, whether we make decisions based on the word of God or we make decisions based on other influences around our lives, things happen. Nothing in life just happens. Everything is a product of decisions. Hallelujah. Like somebody said, you know, our thoughts will determine our decisions. Our decisions will determine our actions. Our actions will determine our habits. Our habits will determine our character, and our character will determine our destiny or destination. But notice, everything begins from thoughts. Thoughts in the mind. Every decision we make. Hallelujah. So our mind is so powerful. And the Bible says we have been given the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. We studied that a little bit as well. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, we've studied this a lot as well. The Bible says we have not received a spirit of fear, but we have received a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind, well-balanced, self-controlled, disciplined mind. We have studied this to quite a large extent. Because we have received a sound mind, there are certain things that are not predominant in our lives. Like, there's just no room for fear. There's no room for anxiety. There's no room for confusion. There's no room for despondency. There's no room for anything that is not in line with the mind and the will of God for you and for me. There's no room for it because we have been given the spirit of love, the spirit of power, and the spirit of a sound mind. We think like God thinks. Hallelujah. We have made that decision that we will think like God thinks. Everything begins with a decision. And decisions happen by virtue of the thoughts that are predominant in our lives. Well, as a result of some of our studies together, we have made the decision we are going to think like God in every area of our lives. Somebody say, is that possible? Yes, it is. If it was not possible, the Lord would not have encouraged us or challenged us to be that way. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. So we have made the decision to put on the mind of Christ. We have embraced the mind of Christ. This is the missing link for so many believers around the body of Christ, around the world. This, what we are discussing, what we've been discussing for several weeks now, I know it may not feel like it, but it is the truth that the missing link in the lives and in the experience of many believers is the renovation of the mind. To make the decision and make the commitment to begin to think like God thinks. To renovate our mind in every area of our lives. Amen. Like we said earlier on, every area of our lives requires a renovation of our minds. Because if we don't renovate our minds, we will continue to think like the world around us. And when we think like the world around us, we will fail to think like God. When we fail to think like God, we will fail to achieve God's plans and God's best for our lives. Hallelujah. It all begins with our mind. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, we have studied this quite a bit. 2 Corinthians and chapter 1 Corinthians and chapter 2. And verse 15 and 16, hallelujah. If you have not been with us, and this is your first time or one of the few times that you've joined us, I encourage you to go back and listen. All of these messages are on the podcast, our podcast. Listen or get the videos, whatever you want to do. But lay a solid foundation, because these are some of the most important things that the Lord has us learning and studying together. The Bible says there that the natural non-spiritual mind or man or woman does not accept or welcome or admit into their heart the gifts and the teachings and revelations of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness. They are meaningless to them. They are nonsense to them. They are incapable of knowing them or progressively recognizing and understanding and becoming better acquainted with them, because these things are spiritually designed and estimated and appreciated. But the spiritual man or spiritually minded man or woman tries all things, examines, investigates, inquires into questions, and discerns all things, yet is himself or herself to be put on trial and judged by no one. He can read the meaning of everything, but no one can properly discern or appraise or get an insight into him. Notice he says he can read the meaning of everything. Not everyone. He doesn't go around judging people, judging everyone, but he can read the meaning of everything. By relying on the spiritual mind, you and I, by relying on our spiritually minded selves, on our spiritually renewed minds, you and I can read everything. We can read, we can understand. Understanding comes from the renewing of the mind. And when there is understanding, there is light. When the mind is blind, when understanding is darkened, we are shut off, we are cut off from the best of God. We are cut off from the life of God. Hallelujah. I like that scripture in the 80th Psalm, I think it is, Psalm 80. Though we are the children of God, though there are so many possibilities that God has made available to us, Psalm 82. Though there are so many, the life of God, the Zoe life of God, has been made abundantly available to us. Even though that is the truth, when our minds and our understandings are darkened, we cannot enjoy the fullness of that life. Look at Psalm 82, and let's read a couple of verses here. I really want us to go and read in the New Testament and spend the bulk of our time in the New Testament tonight. The mind of Christ regarding where he was and what he did that brought about the blessings of the resurrection that he enjoys and that we all enjoy today. The mind of Christ, the commitment that Christ made, the position in which he put his mind so that he could receive the blessings of God regarding the resurrection, and all of us could receive the blessings and the benefits that God has prepared through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But in Psalm 82, he says, God stands, this is verse 1, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. You and I are gods. The Bible says when the word of God comes to us, we are gods. The word of God that has been released, the word of God makes us, it puts us in the God class. God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. That means you and I, by virtue of our creation, we have no limits. By virtue of our redemption, our creation, our redemption, and our restoration in destiny, we have no limits. You and I are gods. You know, one place in the New Testament, Paul and Barnabas were in a place, and the people there wanted to offer them sacrifices. They said, the gods have come down to us. Why? Because they saw those two brothers, they saw those two servants of God as capable of anything. They saw God walk through their lives. They saw certain things that the Lord accomplished through them, and they said, they must be gods. And they were going to sacrifice to both of them, make sacrifices to them like people do to idols. When you are in the God class, you have no limits. You and I have no limits. We have no limits in our spiritual lives. We have no limits in our emotional lives. We have no limits in our financial lives. We have no limits in our health, in our physical bodies. We have no limits in any area of our lives. We have no limits, period. No limits in our relationships, no limits in our marriages, no limits in our families, no limits in our businesses, no limits in our ministries, no limits in our career, no limits, period. You and I have no limits. We are in the God class. However, our understanding and the condition of our mind plays a major role in helping us live at that level of the God class. God has no limits. See where he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. Right? He has no limits. He says, for as the rain that comes down from heaven, the snow and all of the waters, the earth, so shall my word be. When it goes out of my mouth, it does not return to me void, but it accomplishes that which I please, and it prospers in the thing whereto I sent it. That means he has no limits. And when you and I operate at that level of our godliness, our godly nature, we have no limits. But our understanding, our minds, plays a major role in this. Let's go back to this scripture. God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. Look at verse 5. When he judged among the gods, he didn't like what he saw. They were supposed to be gods, but he didn't like what he saw around them, within them, about them. He said in verse 5, they know not, neither will they understand. They don't have knowledge, and they don't have understanding. Why? Because their minds are alienated from the mind and the will and the counsel and the best of God. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. When there is a lack of understanding, when the mind is not renovated, when there is a lack of knowledge, remember in Hosea, the Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It didn't say my people are destroyed because they don't pray. It didn't say my people are destroyed because they don't fast. It didn't say my people are destroyed because they don't go to church. It didn't say my people are destroyed because they don't have Christian names or Christian associations. No, he said my people are destroyed because they lack knowledge. You have despised knowledge, therefore I will also despise you, he says. Right here in this scripture, he says they lack understanding, their minds are blinded, therefore they walk on in darkness. Of course, when we lack understanding, when our minds are blinded or veiled, then we can't see. That means we're operating in darkness. Look at it. He says, they walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. When the mind is not renovated, when we lack knowledge, godly and spiritual knowledge, when we lack understanding, when our minds are blinded and we can't see and we're alienated from the will and the best of God, then everything around our lives will be out of course. To be out of order. The order and the life and the blessing and the peace that God has ordained for all of our lives center around the condition of our minds. Of course, our hearts first. But once our hearts are secure, then it's our mind. Because it's our mind that relays to our natural lives the things that are invested in our hearts. We've already studied this. The Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We have this treasure, God has invested this treasure in earthen vessels. Well, this treasure in our hearts, must be translated to our physical, natural lives through our minds. Hallelujah. When the mind is darkened, when understanding is lacking, our lives are out of course. They are out of order. Our decisions are completely off from the decisions God will make in our situations. We think different from how God will think in our situations. So everything in our lives are out of course. Things that should be very easy to put together. Things that should be very easy to line up together. They become huge mountains. They become big mysteries. Some of the problems people deal with are so simple. They are so easy to deal with. They are so easy. But they are only easy when we have spiritual understanding. They are only easy when our minds are enlightened and we can think like God. We can reason like God. Hallelujah. Look at it. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. Their lives are out of course. And therefore, the things that they have been given jurisdiction over around their lives are also out of course. You notice the family will be out of course, destiny will be out of course, business, career, relationships, many things will be out of course because the mind is darkened and the understanding is lacking. This is not us, but it's good for us to see the extent of the failure that man can experience because of the darkness in the mind, the carnality of the mind. It says, they walk on in darkness, all the foundations of the earth are out of course. Look at verse 6. I have said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. That's what God said. They are gods. They are children of the Most High. They are created in His image. They have the potentials of God. They have the capacities of God. But look at how He says, look at how He says they end up, even though they are supposed to be gods, even though they are supposed to be children of the Most High, but look at their lives and look at their situations. He says, I have said, you are gods and all of you are children of the Most High. Verse 7, but you will die like men and fall like one of the princes. That is, you will not even come close to the best that I have for you. I want you to see, this is not us. Because we are studying and we are growing and we are renovating our minds. Hallelujah. This is not us. But I want you to see the extent of the failure that man deals with. You and I have seen that. We've seen those in our lives when we didn't know any better. We've seen those in the lives of the people around us, people that we love. Sometimes people we love. Sometimes we deeply, people that we deeply care for, care about. And yet we can't make them. We can, you and I can make someone. I'm ministering to us today by the help of the Holy Spirit out of the Word of God, but I can't make you do anything that I'm telling you the Lord wants you to do today, tonight. I can't make you. I can't get your mind renovated for you. That's a decision you are going to have to make. It's a commitment you are going to have to make. I can't do that for you. I love you. I want the best for you. I want you to enjoy God's best in your life. But I can't make that happen for you. I can't make you hear this teaching. I can teach it and I will continue to teach it, but I can't make you hear it. I can't make you obey it if you are hearing it. I can't make you a doer of the word. I am committed to be a doer of the word, but I can't make you a doer of the word. If you want to make excuses to not obey and to not follow and to not walk in the direction of the word of God, that's the decision you have to make. You know, in the New Testament, I can't read that tonight, but the Bible talks in James about hearers of the word and doers of the word. And he says people who are just hearers of the word, they're people that look at themselves in the mirror, and immediately they forget who they were. And they walk around and They are hearers of the word, but then they are not blessed. Right? And remember, all of that is because decisions were made in the mind, or some decisions were not made that should have been made in the mind. He says, I've said you are gods and all of you are children of the Most High, but you will die like men and fall like one of the princes. This is not us. Hallelujah. Our own minds are being renovated. Glory to God. And as our minds are being renovated, hallelujah, our lives are being elevated. Our lives are being elevated. Jesus Christ is our ultimate example. Let's go together to Philippians chapter 2. And I want us to spend the bulk of our time here, right here, around some of these scriptures here, and some other scriptures in the New Testament, if we can get there tonight. Our Lord Jesus Christ is our ultimate example. He was not like one of those people described in Psalms 82. I've said you are gods, you are children of the Most High, but then you will die like mere men. No, that was not the lot of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he was committed in his heart and in his mind to do the will of God, to sell out completely to the will of God. You remember where the Bible tells us in Hebrews, where the Lord Jesus Christ said, I have come to do your will, O God. I'm committed, I'm sold out to doing your will. Jesus was absolutely, completely committed to carrying out the will of God on the earth. Notice there were no excuses. Notice there were no shortcuts for him. This is your decision to make. You can't make excuses. I cannot make excuses. I can't find shortcuts around not being a doer of the word of God. No matter how high I've risen in my walk with the Lord, no matter how close I get to him in my walk with the Holy Spirit, no matter how familiar I become with the word of God, the word of God must constantly, every day, in every way possible, speak and activate obedience from my conscience to my soul. Hallelujah. That's a decision that I make. That's a decision you have to make. If the word of God says something and you hear it and the Holy Spirit brings a challenge to you, to make a change in an area of your life, that's a decision you are going to have to make to obey and to yield to the Holy Spirit. He can make you, just like he can make me. Thank God, Jesus was sold out completely to the will of God. I pray that you and I will be sold out completely to the will of God. The Bible says in the Hebrews, you just didn't bring me any ordinary common sacrifice. And I said, I come to do your will, O God. And he said it from the depth, from the bottom of his heart. And he followed through with that commitment by what he did in his mind. Hebrews chapter 10. I want to go to Philippians 2, but let's read this. Hebrews chapter 10 in verse 5. Therefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. The prophetic word from the Psalms about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the writer of Hebrews is bringing it, and instead of it being futuristic, he's recounting it so that we can remember what Jesus did and how he lived. I've come to do your will, O God. Look at verse 8. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings an offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. I come to do your will, O God. Jesus was sold out to the will of God. Well, in order for us to be renovated in our minds and to enjoy God's best, we must be sold out to the will of God. Let's read out here in Philippians chapter 2 from verse 5. I'm going to read first in the King James, and then I'm going to go and read in the Amplified Version as well. Glory to God. Look at it, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you. So that means that's a decision that I have to make. That's a decision you have to make. In every area of our lives, thinking like Christ thinks is a decision that you and I have to make. Acting like Christ acts is a decision you and I are going to have to make. Talking like Christ talks is a decision you and I are going to have to make. Becoming like God, walking in the center of God's will, following in obedience the instructions he gives to us, is a decision you and I are going to have to make. To love correction, to love instruction, to love the challenge and the directions and directives that come into our lives from the mouth and the heart of God. Loving them and embracing them and following them is a decision that you and I are going to have to make. And we are going to have to make those decisions, and we are going to have to be responsible for those decisions. God is not going to make those decisions for us. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, he did not think it, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That is, even though he had every right to be equal with God, he did not consider it something to try to hold on to. There's a reason the Lord is writing this about the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though he was God, even though he was equal with God, he did not count equality with God something to be held onto. The Bible says, let this mind, this same mind, be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Notice, that was a decision he made. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Humility of heart and humility of life is a decision that every believer has to make. God loves, the Bible says that God gives grace, he gives more grace to the humble. When we are humble, God gives us grace. When we make ourselves insignificant before God, God gives us more grace. When we don't rely on ourselves, when we don't look to ourselves as our own source, when we don't consider that it is our abilities and our attributes and our natural possessions that made us who we are and that will make us what we desire in our lives and in our future, but when we humble ourselves sufficiently to lean completely on God, like Jesus did, Jesus could have said, I'm God. I don't need to do anything else. I'm already God. And the Bible says, no, he did not count it robbery. He did not, equality with God was not something he was going to hold on to by all means. So that he could not pay the price of redemption that was being required of him. But the Bible says he humbled himself to pay that ultimate price, even when that ultimate price was a price of death. Jesus gave up his life. The Lord Jesus Christ gave up his life because he took on the garment of humility. This is a decision every believer has to make. Humility is required. Humility is what enables us to be teachable. If we are not humble, we will not be teachable. Humility is what enables us to receive and embrace correction. If we don't learn to embrace correction, the Bible tells us in the Proverbs, we will never enjoy the best of God, ever. Humility is what encourages us to follow. Even when we don't necessarily like the direction that has been given to us. Humility is what makes us yield to the people and to the directions that God gives to us. When we are humble, we strip ourselves. You may be wealthy, but you strip yourself of your wealth. You may be older, you strip yourself of your age. You may be highly educated, you strip yourself of your higher education. The Bible says Jesus became humble. Let's read this to the end, and then because as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and the power of redemption and everything that Jesus died to give to us, restoration, the glory of the new birth, I want us to remember that the ultimate price he paid required that he decide in his mind to be humble. And the Bible says, that same mind that was in Jesus should be in us. Let's keep reading this further. He says that he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus humbled himself. Let that sink in. Jesus humbled himself. Jesus humbled himself. Jesus humbled himself. Let this mind be in you. Humility is a mark of thinking like God. Humility is an evidence of having the mind of Christ. Humility of heart. Humility of mind. To be willing to yield, to be willing to step down, to be willing to follow, to be willing to be led, to be willing to be corrected, to be willing to be directed, to be willing to be instructed is the mind, is an evidence of the mind of Christ. I know from 2 Timothy 1:7, we went through a whole lot of different things that the mind is, when that mind is a sound mind. Humility is one of the most crucial evidences of a sound mind. He became obedient even to the death of the cross. Verse 9, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for the name of Jesus. But look at the price he paid for that name. He humbled himself. He stripped himself. He gave up everything that he had. That's how he got that name. And he got that name and that authority and he gave it to us. Hallelujah. He got that authority, he got that name, and he gave it to us. Notice, our Lord Jesus Christ didn't just receive the best of God because he was the Lord Jesus Christ. He did something. Though better yet, he did some things. One of which the Bible is telling us about tonight. He humbled himself. He humbled himself. My friends, humility is required for every believer. Humility is required. A willingness to stoop low. A willingness to empty ourselves. A willingness to follow. A willingness to step down. A willingness to embrace correction. A willingness to embrace instruction. Humility is required to enjoy God's best. None of us is so high, knows it all, has gotten it all together that we don't need God's correction. And the Bible says, the son and the daughter whom God loves, he corrects. He disciplines, he says in Hebrews chapter 12. Humility is required to move forward in destiny, to move up, to be elevated. Humility is required. Actually, you see there in Hebrews, I'm going to come right back here and read these scriptures in the Amplified in Philippians 2. And that's most likely all I'm going to be able to do tonight because I see my time is gone. Glory to God. That's where we were supposed to focus tonight, and I'm glad that's what we're doing. Hallelujah. Humility is required. Can you say those words with me? Humility is required. Say it again. Humility is required of me. Say it. Personalize it. Humility is required of me to enjoy God's best. It is. Look at James chapter 4 and verse 10. Look at what it says. Hallelujah. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And then what would happen? He will lift you up. He will elevate you. If you renovate your mind, elevate your life. One of the most important things we do in renovating our minds is to embrace the spirit of humility as God's children. Read this in the Amplified. James chapter 4 verse 10 in the Amplified. Humble yourselves, feeling very insignificant in the presence of the Lord. What will he do? He will exalt you. He will lift you up, and he will make your lives significant. Meaning, he will elevate you. Humility is required. One of the keys, one of the things that show the level and the extent of the renovation of our minds, the renewal of our minds, is humility. Humility. Humility to submit. Humility to yield. Humility to follow. Humility to be teachable. Humility to be instructed. Humility to be directed. Humility to be disciplined. Humility to be corrected. And to do it with a good attitude. A good attitude. Let's read this from the Amplified. The Bible says God gave him a name. God has highly exalted him, giving him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He humbled himself. Let's read this from the Amplified in verse 5. Let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility. Jesus is our example in humility. Without humility, we cannot be elevated. Without humility, we cannot enjoy God's best. Taking on humility requires that we renovate our minds. We renew our minds, the spirit of our minds, to accept that it is okay to yield to somebody else. It is okay to follow. It is okay to be corrected. It is okay to be taught. It is okay to be led. It is okay to be directed. It is okay to show respect and courtesy. It is okay. It is good in the eyes of our Father. Let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility, who, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which made God God, did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained, but he stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity, so as to assume the guise of a servant, a slave, in that he became like men and was born a human being. And after he had appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself still further and carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even the death of the cross. And because he stooped so low, God has highly exalted him and has freely bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that in at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue frankly and openly must confess and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. My brothers and sisters, wherever you are today, receive the spirit of humility. Receive the spirit of humility. Take on the mind of Christ. Take on, make the decision to be humble. Make the decision to pursue humility. Make the decision to pursue humility. We are not all that. We are not all that. Doesn't matter what we have. Doesn't matter. We are not all that. Hallelujah. Human beings, we're like the grass, the Bible says. Flesh, all flesh is like the grass. Let's take on humility. In Jesus' name. Father, we honor you today. We give you praise tonight. Thank you for your holy word. Thank you. Thank you for the power of the resurrection. Thank you. Thank you, God, for the glory of the resurrection. Thank you for the blessing of redemption. But Lord, above everything, thank you for the mind of Christ, the humility that Christ, our Savior, took upon himself to obey you, to yield to you, and to pay the ultimate sacrifice. We take on that same humility today. We take on the mind of Christ so that we can become everything that you destined our lives to become, and so that we can enjoy your best in every area and in every realm of our lives. I give you the glory and the praise, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, saints, for being with us tonight. Our time is up. Got to stop. Glory to God. What a mighty presence of God. Great time in his presence. I look forward to seeing you again same time next week. God bless you. Good night.